Well, today we are continuing our Holy Spirit series. And for those of you who have been here the last few weeks, you've probably already heard us say we are still wearing white for Easter because we're in the season of Eastertide. That's the season that bridges Easter Sunday to Pentecost Sunday. And the reason that we're in a Holy Spirit series is because, as Arthur and I were discussing, just the different ways that we could help connect the dots continually. This is the story of what happens after Jesus is ascended, and really when Jesus comes back, he breathes the Spirit on the believers. He breathes the Spirit, he gives the Spirit to the disciples to go on. He says, I'm going somewhere, you can't come now, but I will send you my Spirit. And it's so personal, and it's such a gift. And so through these weeks, we're talking about just exactly why that's a gift and the identity of the Spirit. The Spirit as a person of the triune God. So we will jump in just a second, but let's pray over our time together. Gracious God, we offer you up these moments. We lift up whatever is currently on our minds, the things that weigh heavy on our hearts, the joys that we can't wait to share with one another, and the grief that also is inevitably there. All of these things are part of living in this world, and we ask that your Holy Spirit, who is indwelling in us, would reveal and show us exactly what we need to do with the calling that you've given us. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So over the last few weeks, we have been really talking about Jesus. Of course, this is church. We've been talking about Jesus and the way that Jesus has sent his Spirit. But today we're going to introduce a new person, hopefully someone very familiar to you, which is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is just an incredible example and emblem of the ministry that Jesus not only teaches his disciples, but that is spurred on to start these early Jesus communities known to be later as the church. These subsets of people, they're coming together, starting to talk and recite and pray all about the truths that they have heard, handed down to them, or even eyewitnesses of following this person, Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul is known famously for many things, including the back half of your Bible. In the end of your Bible, there are many things. They're called the letters, the epistles. These are writings of Paul. Sometimes Paul is writing to a specific church. Sometimes it's a wider and broader teaching. But it is intended not only for them, but for us. Today you heard the reading, and it's the letter to the Romans. Specifically chapter 8, which is a very famous chapter, 7 and 8, letter to the Romans. And these are times where the Apostle Paul is teaching people, like, keep with it. Stay with it. Lean into the Spirit. He's previously talked in the letter about sufferings and about grief and all of those things that kind of get him a reputation for being like a wet blanket, kind of a bummer. Paul addresses many things people don't want to talk about. If you've opened the Bible at all and read something that Paul's written, you will see that pretty quickly. But what Paul is also able to do is he is able to encourage and spur on those of us who might not be suffering in the exact way Paul was. You see, many of these letters were either written while he was in prison to those who have actively tried to escape persecution as early Christians, or those who would also know the life of suffering quite well. And to be a Christian in Paul's day was not popular, it was not the majority, and it was certainly a very difficult thing. And so today, that's where we begin. From this man who met Jesus on the road to Damascus, had his life transformed from Saul to Paul, he now sits down and he's encouraging the Romans, the house church in Rome. And I want to start it just a little earlier than where you heard. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, capital S Spirit, those who live in accordance with the Holy Spirit, they have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When I was thinking about this series in general, you know, Arthur and I and the other pastors, we were discussing what was so important to us, which is to convey that the Holy Spirit is a who, not a what. You can find Scott Engel anywhere on campus, and he will remind you of that. This is a holy who, not a holy what, the Holy Spirit. And that's so important because a lot of us forget that we have relationships with people. Why would we not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And so often, we always look for the carrot dangling just ahead. Like, what's in it for me, right? When I was in the corporate world, the popular acronym was WIFM, right? What's in it for me? And at every case that I went to, you were supposed to propose the context, the solution, and the WIFM. What was in it for them, right? Why would they buy your product or service? And when it comes to the Apostle Paul, he is so clear at that. What's in it for you? Did you catch the end of that last sentence? It's one of the most beautiful sentences in the Bible. Those whose minds are governed by the Spirit have life and peace. Last week, we talked a lot about comfort. And I said that the Webster Dictionary definition of comfort said free from pain. And we have the Holy Spirit known as the comforter. But let's talk for a second about peace. Anybody need peace in your day-to-day right now? Anybody looking for any solution that you could constantly bake in to make the day a little easier, a little quieter, a little bit more peaceful? My husband and I have a newborn, and peace looks a lot more, let's say, rare and appreciated than it used to. Now, luckily, we have kind of a peaceful kid, but still, peace comes at such a premium. And so many of us are looking for it, and I almost think that, like, we're so comfortable saying I'm looking, you know, what do you want in this world, peace? Like, we just make it so far away, almost, like, as if we wouldn't even know if we actually got there. Like, we come home and we have dinner with our spouses and say, how's your day? And I don't know that I've ever sat across the table from my husband and been like, peaceful. You know what today was? Today was very peaceful. I just don't think that it's something that I've thought, you know, I achieved that today. And the Apostle Paul says that for those whose minds are in the Spirit, like, that's what comes with it. That's the WIFM. That's what's in it for you. A life of peace. A mind of peace. Relationships with peace. A church of peace. A schedule of peace. See, these things, they just permeate our lives. And whenever we had kids, everyone told me this was going to happen when we shared that we were expecting our first child. And they said, it will really make you realize what matters in life. And y'all said that, and y'all are absolutely right. It's so true. I go throughout my day thinking about so many other things. I rank the priorities in so many other ways because now I have Barrett, our son, this little adorable children who depend on us. Like, whatever we're doing today, whatever we're prioritizing, whatever is becoming important in our home and in our life will be the way that he knows and sees the world. Or at least one avenue of it. And later in the letter, we'll get to this, Paul brings up a theme that he brings up all the time. When I say the word inheritance, what do you think? Inheritance. Right now, I think most of us are listing out either our assets or what we're hoping we're going to get as an inheritance or what we're hoping we're going to leave as an inheritance or what we've already gotten. Or what we're planning on. Inheritance, it brings up, it just begs the question. I mean, there's no way to be thinking about that theme and not just going through your checklist really quick right now. And I want to just pause you from doing that, which is hard. And I want you to jump into the Apostle Paul's world. Paul has walked over 10,000 miles in his life. Paul has been persecuted. He has grown a network of undercover Christians, if you will, who are willing to risk their lives for the sake of the gospel. Paul is not married, but Paul has these apprentices like Timothy. He considers them a son. Paul is leaving this legacy everywhere he goes, and number one priority for Paul is that it's not in his name, right? Any of you who have read the Apostle Paul, you know he's very clear on he is doing everything he is in the name of Christ. And when I read that and I think about maybe what Paul was reflecting on in prison or what he looked back and said, you know, that's my inheritance and that's my legacy. Like, what is he really banking on? What is he really counting on? Paul knows the only thing that will outlast him. The only thing that will outlast any of us is the Holy Spirit. God's presence. God, right? Anything you and I could have just put on our list, thinking of the inheritance that is good and right and a blessing to leave those whom are our heirs, that's wonderful. But the only thing that will really last is the Spirit, right? We all await the second coming of Christ, and until then, we live with the Spirit. And Paul gets right at this. He's not a shy guy, as you've seen. He knows, and this is the part you heard already read today. And it goes like this. If Christ is in you, then even your body is subject to death because of sin. But the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, if that same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life, your mortal bodies, because of his Spirit, life. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you received brings you adoption. Adoption into sonship. And it is by the Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. We are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs. And if we're heirs of God, then we're co-heirs with Christ. And indeed, then too, we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Isn't that amazing that Paul would be able to say, it is by the Holy Spirit, only by the Spirit, that you have been adopted? Adoption. Adoption is such a fabulous thing. And it's just so amazing the transformation it brings. When you're adopted, let's talk about practically for a second. When you're adopted, you get a new birth certificate. Your name likely changes. You are made new. Adoption always reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, the old has passed and the new has come. That is why we're all here in a way, isn't it? Don't we all want to be made new? Don't we all know that this version of us today isn't just the best it could be? That we still struggle. Like Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I still struggle to do. We just wait for that alignment, and we work towards it. But praying in the Spirit, Paul says, don't sleep on the Spirit. Don't miss out on the Spirit. It is by that exact person, the Spirit, that you can be adopted. You can be adopted. You can be an heir, an inheritor. My husband and I, with our newborn, we have been going through all of the really fun forms and paperwork that come with adding a member to your family. There are so many things that I never even expected. And you know, you're adding his first, middle, and last name to everything, you know, just in case. And it says, like on our healthcare, beneficiary, and we put our son's name. And it says this on another form, and we put our son's name. And beneficiaries all over the places, right, to make sure everyone is taken care of if something happens. And I was working on this sermon on an inheritance, and I was updating all these forms, and I was like, number one, like, our son is just so lucky. Like, he's on all these forms now. He doesn't even know it. He's 14 weeks old. He's just living life, eating, you know, sleeping. And I'm here putting him on all these formal documents, making sure that he is an inheritor of whatever those things are. But you know what the reality is someday that's all going to run out. And the reality is that, well, I really hope he doesn't need most of those forms. But also, like, that's just one small thing we can do to prepare for him. What he has that's so much better is the Spirit. It's so much better than any form my husband and I just filled out. And you know why? It's because God loved us so much before we even knew who God was or what God was doing, and that, like we baptize this beautiful girl today, baptism is the perfect example of this inheritance, because we have just blessed and said, you are a part of our family, to this sweet girl. And she's so smart. I know she's the smartest girl ever, but she also doesn't really know, right? Our son doesn't really know. They don't know how good they have it yet. They'll find out. It'll be really clear someday, but right now, they are recipients. And it's a beautiful thing. Watching a baby baptized is one of the best examples you have of God's prevenient grace. That God loves us, her, anyone so much that they get to receive. There were no forms to fill out. There was no test to pass, nothing to study, nothing to know, nothing to accomplish. Just pure love being extended, pure grace being extended. As the Apostle Paul is preparing this house church in Rome, and he's going through this list, right? He says, you need to live a life worthy of the gospel. He says that to the Philippians. He tells the Galatians, like, make sure you're preaching the true gospel. And he gets to the Romans, and he says, listen, I need to make sure that you're really clear on your identity. So many of us, so many people, they just aren't. They just aren't. We just aren't sometimes. We think we know who we are. We've drafted the perfect resume. We've put the perfect Facebook post up. We've done this. We've done that. But our identity is so much more than those things. And the Apostle Paul says this is an identity situation. This is an identity topic, an identity issue. You need to know the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It's not something that is a transaction. You didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to fill out a form for it. That Jesus knew that it would be different when he had ascended. It wouldn't be the same. And Jesus says what in the Gospels? He says, I will give you my Spirit. And Paul takes it a step further. Did you hear this? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The children. Like Barrett, my son. You know the things I would do for my son and the things I've seen you all do for your children? I see it all the time. As pastors, we get to see so many amazing moments. The sacrificial love that exists among this room and this church and this community, the things that you do for those who depend on you, for your heirs, I've seen it. It's amazing. Any parent I know would tell you they would bend over backwards for their child before they can even do anything to earn or deserve it. The Apostle Paul goes on. He says, and by the Spirit, it is that we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we are, then we share in his sufferings, but it is in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul must have been an incredible leader, no doubt. One of the best leaders in the world, probably. Look, we're sitting in a church. Like, did he do his job? He was called to plant churches, to spread the gospel. He must have been an incredible leader. What does it take to be a good leader? Who is leading you? Like right now. Think in your head, who is leading you? That would make you a follower. That would make them a leader. People you know, people you don't know, people you know exist and they don't know you exist. We follow them too, right? And then think about this. What kind of leader are you? Because like anything in life, we have the actual and we have the perceived, right? Like we have the part of us that's like, I'm a great leader. And then we have the other part of us that is really needing all of these growth areas, the actual. Or we perceive someone else to say they're a great leader, or they're a terrible leader, either way. And there's still an actual and a perceived. You see, when it comes to the Apostle Paul, he puts himself all the way out there. He doesn't shy away. He doesn't run away. He doesn't stop the task when he goes to jail the first time. He doesn't stop traveling when he's shipwrecked. He doesn't give up preaching the gospel. He'll do whatever it takes. And the thing at the end of the day is that Paul is not our model for a leader. Paul is a follower, and he's modeling the best leader there is. Paul is leading this life following the example of Jesus. And he's so concerned that you do the same thing. And he's so concerned that I do the same thing. And what that looks like is actually rerouting every part of our lives, every part of our expectation of an inheritance, of our identity, of our jobs, of our relationships, of our homes. All of those things rewired so that we are what? People who are with the Spirit. For who does not want a life with peace? Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you tell us that it is in your Spirit and through your Spirit that we are adopted, we are made new, we have an inheritance. You are so specific. It is an inheritance that though we suffer now, though there is suffering, we are united to Christ through our sufferings, just as Paul was, following the same leader that Paul was. And it is such a welcome invitation. This life of peace that we can look ahead and say, what's in it for me? What's in it for me is true presence with you. And what could be better? What will outlast everything else? You, that we may worship you and glorify you in all that you deserve, in all the gratitude of the prevenient grace and the love that has been extended before we even knew it was ours. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.